I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello, welcome to this week's Must Hear Music podcast. My name is Joe Lynch. I'm sitting here with Erica Ramirez.
You're so welcoming. Like, I love it. It's so nice.
Thanks.
Welcome back.
On air, yeah. You're so nice.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Once the mic turns on, I'm all smiles. I'm pretty much scowling at my computer the rest of the day.
But thank you for having me.
Of course, yeah. And and Jason Lipschitz.
Hey, man.
As well.
What's going on?
I'm really good because you handed me a pretzel full of peanut butter before this started.
My favorite snack. Peanut butter filled pretzels are...
Mango juice.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, that's my favorite juice.
Wow.
Jason's friend asked me via Twitter. And yeah.
You are the juice. Yeah, peanut butter filled pretzels are, you know, they're just God's gift.
Anyways, I don't know what my favorite snack is. I'll think about it and get back at the end of the podcast. So there's that's
exciting.
A cliffhanger.
Yeah.
But let's start with the new song from King Kendrick called I, just a lowercase I. And this
lowercase
is
I.
An Erica pick.
Of course, it was a pick of mine. I am a huge fan of Kendrick from the beginning, as many people know. But I is a song that I definitely wasn't expecting to hear from Kendrick. Although I have to remind myself that his first singles aren't usually singles that people expect or that also kind of hint upon the meat of the album. So I did listen to this thinking that, like, this doesn't mean that this is what the album will sound like. But I love the way he used the Isley Brothers sample. Like, even as much as it looped, like, I like the way he wrote that. And I just love the message, like a Compton rapper talking about self-love and all this other crazy stuff going on in the world that people are sometimes, you know, too scared to talk about, especially rappers. And I just, you know, I really enjoyed it. It's really fun. It's really catchy. It's not as catchy as like Anaconda or other songs. Like, it's not that type of catchy, but I really do think it's like it's a Kendrick catchy. Like, I think it just works for him.
Yeah, I really like this song. I like that it zags when you think Kendrick is going to zig, if that makes sense. You think you listen to something like Control. Basically the last important piece of music that he's released was the Control verse. And, you know, you think of that song and you think, oh, man, what if Kendrick just drops a song called I, where he just goes in. But this is totally different. I half expected him to start singing along to the That Lady sample from the Isley Brothers.
Wouldn't it be amazing if that's how he like closed the song?
I just like how weird this song is. Like, some of my favorite rappers are just really weird when it comes to their craft and putting out songs. Like, you think of, I know that this song's getting a lot of Andre 3000 comparisons, but you think about someone like him, and he's never going to do something predictable. And that's kind of what I like about Kendrick too. Like, he could have. You know, we're gonna talk about an artist later in this podcast named Jesse J, who has been kind of grabbing huge artists and kind of adopting their sound for her singles. Kendrick does the complete opposite and just blasts out his own creativity in all these different directions. And I mean, a couple hours ago, Eric and I were talking in the office. Because I asked why Erica was so defensive about this song.
On
Twitter. Because here's the thing. you sent like 10 tweets today. Maybe not 10.
No, I reread them and I was like, I was a little angry.
You were pretty angry about this Kendrick song. You were
considering how happy the song actually
is.
Yeah,
you were like, I love myself. I love this song. And I hate all of you. But she did not say that.
But I
bring that up because it seems like you saw like a more negative reaction to this song.
Yes, I totally did.
Really?
I did. I mean, and possibly I just need to unfollow everybody and start following the people that you follow. Yeah, I think people were, they were expecting something, I think, like Control. And because that was, like you said, the last memorable, you know, thing that we heard from Kendrick. And then also some were saying that this isn't or may not be a successful first single or something that will help the sales of the album. And I'm just like, I mean, I think that's a little too soon to tell.
Yeah.
It's a little premature to start worrying about.
Right. And the kind of artist that Kendrick is, like, I don't think that Kendrick would give you, I mean, we got Swimming Pools, which was a bonus track. The album was completely different than what you got on Swimming Pools.
Yeah.
So it's, first of all, I don't think we weren't going to get a single that we expected, but also why would we want something like that from Kendrick?
Yeah.
Seeing how great of the Good Kid, Mad City album was. And yeah, I mean, I think that people were just very negative about it. I think for them, it was a little too mainstream, a little too like, you know, hyped than his other music. And I just, yes, I got defensive. The happy song made me mad because of these people.
Do you think people are mad that this song is so about self-love and like they don't want to hear that from someone who's yelling yabish and you know, has some of the hardest rhymes in hip hop? Like, do you think that kind of put people off?
I think that's, yes. Like, I think that a Compton rapper, like I said, talking about self-love, but like, look at the single artwork. Like, you have a Crypton of Blood throwing up heart signs
in harmony.
Right? Like, you kind of like, when you got that, it's like, you can't be that surprised that you got this song after the single artwork.
Yeah.
But if you hear the end of Good Kid, Mad City, like, I think one of the final songs is him talking about like his best friend and like the girl that he used to date and like people that he pretty much couldn't save but wanted to save, and one of those people was himself. So it's like the subject matter isn't too out of reach if you really have heard Good Kid, Mad City and like what Kendrick is about. And we can't also expect him to make that type of music when he's like, he's been on tour for like 2 years.
Yeah.
The things that the kid probably learned, like, I want to hear that on his album.
It'll be interesting. I'm sorry, Joe. I'll let you talk in
like
15 minutes. Yeah. It'll be interesting to hear. I've been thinking about the fact like that we don't really know what Kendrick Lamar's second album is going to be about subject wise, because you before Good Kid, Mad City came out, Mad City is obviously an incredible album, but I feel like before that album came out, from what you heard about it, you kind of knew it was going to be autobiographical. Like,
right.
You kind of knew that it was going to be him telling his story of growing up in Compton and what that was like. And obviously he fleshed out it to an amazing degree. So I'm curious as to what this album is going to be like. I mean, this is a very interesting first taste of it in that regard.
On the song, I think he talks about kind of, and I think he did this on a few like featured verses where he talks about like the hate that he's gotten. I mean, like, even I think it was like the Subtract song that he was featured on. It was a song that he was recently featured on where he kind of talks about like the hate that he's gotten. So like, I think that's, and he talks about it on I. So I think that's a hint of kind of the subject matter. But also to go back to the criticism or the negative criticism, you also got a snippet in the Beats by Dre commercial of like the song that him and Dre were working on. And on that song, he was like growling on it. So like, I think that if you were going off of that and Control, then you really were surprised to hear But I think we've talked too much and we haven't let Joe talk. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Joe.
You know,
Joe's going
to
be like, actually,
move on
I hate
to the next song. No, I guess my take, my initial take, the first time I heard it was akin to the people who are kind of suspicious of this song for kind of the reasons you mentioned. It's a little more mainstream sounding. It's obviously a song that relies on a hit sample. You know, it's like kind of any song with that riff in it is going to sound good because it's just like one of the greatest riffs in history. And he doesn't, you know, really kind of get into the hardcore rapping until the last maybe 40 seconds or something. So I was, at first I was like, you know, this doesn't maybe bode well. But then I was like, this isn't per se like the lead single. This might just be an album track, you know, like
we don't know. Yeah.
Like the one he did with Dre from Good Kid that ended up just being a bonus track. Like,
yeah.
You know, that was just kind of a throwaway part mm-hmm. of the album. And this might be the same thing. This might make sense within the context of the album. And especially, the second time I listened to it, I was like, there's actually a lot of references going on here. Because, you know, he references the War album, The World is Ghetto, of course, the Isley Brothers riff. And that's a riff that's popped up elsewhere in hip-hop, like on the Paul's Boutique album. And then at the end, you kind of hear cars honking. And there's this really kind of old school funky bass line that really almost reminded me of Stevie Wonder's Inner Visions album. Yeah. Like you kind of expected like Living Just Enough for the City to like almost make an appearance. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the reference of the Isley Brothers song being a Swiffer commercial. So, you know, I think he definitely wanted to make that reference.
He was sitting in the studio. He's like, Swiffer.
Yeah. I think this is going to be a Swiffer-themed album for sure. But no, that just made me think that he's kind of maybe looking, now that he has a classic album under his belt, maybe this album will be a little more self-conscious kind of about its place in music history.
Yeah.
I do know that he's working with Terrace Martin, which is kind of has written a lot of songs for R&B singers. And I also think that BJ the Chicago Kid has kind of been around TDE. He's been on Schoolboy's stuff. So I have a feeling it will have a little bit more like a soul R&B feel. I mean, especially like he's been listening to the Isley Brothers. So I'm definitely interested because usually you hear a lot of hip hop and R&B songs. So I'm wondering how this album is going to sound with some R&B or soul funk kind of influence on it.
All right, well, let's listen to some of Kendrick Lamar's I. All right, that was Kendrick Lamar's new song, I. Next up, let's talk about Jesse J and 2 Chainz' new collabo, Burning Up.
Just saying it out loud makes me laugh. Jesse J and 2 Chainz. It's just funny to me. Yeah, it's so here. So the thing about Jesse J is that super lovely artist, has a great voice.
2 Chainz is also a lovely artist, by the way.
Both lovely. I laugh more. I'm not laughing at them. I'm laughing at the pairing.
Yeah.
Because if you listen to this song,
yeah,
it's like the first time I heard it, I literally laughed out loud because there's the part where right before 2 Chainz comes in, Jesse J is going like walk me through the fire, and then it's like take me to the river, and then it's like 2 Chainz.
It's so, an odd pairing considering the sound of the song.
Yeah.
Right.
So the thing about Jesse J is that she's kind of become, at least on this album, the Mario Chalmers of music, which is Mario Chalmers is the point guard for the Miami Heat. He's
yeah,
a pretty
that meant nothing to me.
Okay, all right. Let me explain. Mario Chalmers is the point guard of the Miami Heat. He's a pretty good player, not a great player, but he has 2 championships because he was on the same team as LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh.
I follow.
So, in that regard, she puts out Bang Bang. Bang Bang is a huge hit. It's been in the top 10. I don't think it has fallen out of the top 10 since it came out. And now she has a song with 2 Chainz that sounds like a hit to me. It's a little bit of an uneven song, and I think that they don't really mesh well together. However, I will 100% go to bat for this 2 Chainz verse because it is hilarious. And he rhymes corridor with Oreo, and that's all I could ever want from a 2 Chainz song.
Joe's looking at me like,
I guess, yeah, I'll leave the 2 Chainz talk to Erica, but I guess my take on it is, you know, obviously Jesse J wants to strike while the iron is hot with Bang Bang. I guess I don't think this will be a track that will really like hit. You know, I think it'll hit the charts and then fall off. But, I mean, chart analysis aside, I think it's a fine song. It's kind of an odd stylistic mishmash where there's, like, these syncopated jungle rhythms, but then her voice is kind of just doing the same thing that it would do on like any overproduced soul track.
Yeah, it's so
it
true. Just
her. I don't know if her voice works.
Like she
great
is
with
all
this.
Soulful, and then she like switches it up. Yeah, like, right when you kind of start liking
when
her.
The two change.
Yes, yeah. And like.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Listen, I'm not going to hate on 2 Chainz because like you said, his wordplay is just too hilarious to like
so funny.
Even say anything bad about it. I just wonder if I'm not a fan of when it kind of seems like artists are just grabbing what's hot and like throwing it in and trying to just make something like the ASAP Rocky Sam Smith collaboration. I was just like, I don't know. And like, I think Skoy was a Schoolboy and Sam Smith collaboration leaked, and I believe that was kind of what they wanted to go to, and then ASAP Rocky stepped in and did that, and it's just like, it just feels a little weird, it feels a little forced, and I feel like that's what it feels like here, and I'm just wondering how that's going to, how her album overall is going to do when there's just singles that you can pick out of and they could be by themselves. I don't know if it's going to mesh well.
I mean, these are 2 songs, and Bang Bang and Burn It Up, and you don't really get a clear sense of who Jessie J is now at this point in her career. I mean, this is her 3rd album. It's her 2nd album in the U.S. because her last album, Alive, was only released overseas. And obviously, she's trying to make a huge U.S. push. It's working so far with Bang Bang. I think, like I said, I think this song is going to do well, Burn It Up. But, yeah, I don't... I want to see more from her as an artist. Like, I felt like... I really like the Jessie J song Domino. I thought that was a really fun single. And it's just like that shows a little bit more of her personality as a singer. And then this one kind of limits her a little bit. And then, you know, 2 Chainz swoops in to save the day.
He kind of steals as, the show.
As he is known to do. But yeah, that mixed emotions on Burn It Up for sure.
All right, well, let's listen to Burn It Up from Jessie J and 2 Chainz. All right, next up, let's talk about an untitled song written by Dev Hynes, a.k.a. Blood Orange, a.k.a. Test Icicles, a.k.a. I forget the other name.
Lightspeed Champion.
Lightspeed Champion.
Boom!
But yeah, so this hit the internet maybe 24 hours ago. By the time you're listening to it, that'll be, I guess, 48 hours ago. But it is a song that Dev Hynes wrote for Britney Spears. He was talking about this late last year. I guess before her album came out, there was no Dev Hynes songwriting credit on it. Apparently, according to the depths of the internet, that music is now available. These are just let's be clear, these are just Dev Hynes songs. There's no Britney Spears singing on any of it, but purportedly these are the songs that he sent to her for consideration. The one I'm highlighting, it seems like it would have been called Leave Us Alone because that's what he's repeating over and over. Although it also kind of sounds like Nina Simone. If you're like, I don't know if that's intentional or not, but there was a point I was like, wait, is he saying Nina Simone halfway through the song? But anyways, But this is a very produced song for a demo. Like, there, it's more than just, like, you know, someone sitting at a piano or a guitar. He definitely wanted to demonstrate to her what he wanted this song to sound like. We hear a lot of stuttering synths and kind of weird cranking noises in the background. The performance, it sounds like he did multiple takes for this because it's incredibly an anguished, like, sad vocal he's put down on this. I mean, it sounds like this could be a song on one of his own albums. Like, it's such a fantastic song. That being said, I totally see why the Britney Spears camp turned it down. It just, as great as it is, it really just doesn't seem like her wheelhouse. It's almost too real for her. And I know the last album wasn't great, her album, but I feel like she couldn't tackle this song. Her voice would sound like wildly out of place.
Yeah.
I don't know. Go ahead.
I think, because I'm not going to say much about this song. No, I completely agree where, like, this feels like, if I would have not known that it had anything to do with Britney Spears, I really would have thought it was just like a Dev Hynes song. Like, it, like you said, it's pretty much set to go. And it sounds like Dev Hynes. And it makes me a little nervous to even think that Britney Spears would be able to sing in, like, a tone that would fit with the production. But yeah. So I
was just going to say, I don't really know why Dev Hynes isn't a more in-demand producer now. Because, like, if you listen to this song, if you think about his work with Blood Orange, as well as his work with someone like Sky Ferreira and Haim, and, like, this guy is just on fire, and everyone should be trying to emulate his sound. Like, I just don't really get why. Like, when I heard about this kind of leaked demo, I feel like if it had come out that Britney Spears was, like, working with Dev Hynes or someone like Madonna who's working on a new album, I would have been like, my reaction would have been like, oh, that's a great call. Like, that would be my reaction, not, oh, that's weird.
But would it's like, do you think that would sound good? Like, when I think of Britney Spears on a Dev Hynes song, I don't think of nice things. I don't think of pretty things that make me happy. Beyonce on a Dev Hynes song,
let me ask you a question. Beyonce, when you think of Britney Spears on a Will.i.am song, what do you think?
That I can see that. Like, I'm not saying but that doesn't make me feel pretty things either.
Good.
But that collaboration makes sense for what, you know, Britney Spears has done recently. So, like, that makes sense to me.
Yeah,
unless she's going to do what Beyonce did and kind of, like, switch it around and, like, do something different, like how she did with Haunted and all these other songs. Like, I don't see Britney Spears doing that, which is why I see why artists like that in that caliber of, like, Britney Spears and Madonna would go with the Dev Hynes production. Not to say it's not great. I think it's amazing. I just don't know if it goes together.
I think that, and I don't want this to become a Beyonce versus Britney Spears mustier music podcast. I do feel like
that's my fault.
I do feel like that's interesting, though, because I think there is this kind of perception that someone like Beyonce has more ambition with their new music as opposed to Britney Spears. Not that Britney Spears doesn't have ambition, but I feel like you think of Beyonce being more willing to take risks with her music, whereas Britney Spears just wants to kind of stick to a script somewhat and produce bangers. And that's totally fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just interesting that, like, the reaction to Dev Hynes' demo would be like, oh, that doesn't really fit. Like, I guess my take would be, I want to hear it. Like, I would rather
hear, like, Christina Aguilera. Like, a vocalist who, like, will really sell it.
I don't know.
This is me, Joe versus you.
I don't know. Like, I think about something like I'm a Slave for You, and she didn't have, like, an incredible vocal take on that song, but it's still an incredible song just because of, like, the production and everything, and it just fits so well. I think that Dev Hynes could do something like that, like something Neptunes-esque. And I'd just be really interested to hear it because I really like Dev Hynes.
I think maybe 10 years ago he could have done something with her, but I feel like at least at this point in her career.
He was still in Test Icicle.
Well, I guess I'll say Dev Hynes of 2014 with Britney of 2004.
So you're saying that he and Christopher Lloyd are going back in time.
More or less.
They will work with 2004
Britney Spears. 1.21 gigawatts. Before we end up in more of a Beyonce Britney rabbit hole, let's listen to it.
I'm all for that.
Yeah, let's do that.
let's take this offline.
Yeah.
All right, this is an untitled song that demo Dev Hynes wrote for Britney Spears. Ooh. Next up, let's talk about the new Azealia Banks song. It's called Chasing Time. Erica, this is one of yours.
Yes. So I think Azealia Banks really does shine when she kind of switches her rapping and her singing, and especially when it's like 90s house music. I think that's where she does great. I mean, we saw like 1991 and all the songs that she did, the EP that dropped after that. And, you know, I tweeted about the song and I just couldn't help but say, I just wish she wouldn't like sabotage her talent with like Twitter beefs and all this stuff. Because sadly enough, when I like listen to the song, I'm like, God, this is really good. And like, it gets me excited for her album. And now I get nervous that like something else would pop up on Twitter and be like, please just put out more songs like this. But I think this is her realm where she shines. And I think also, if you listen closely, like Azealia Banks is a really good singer. And I like that she kind of shows that also on this song.
Yeah, I think exactly what you said. Like, it's incredible to hear someone who can... Obviously, there are people out there like Nicki Minaj and Drake who can sing and rap, but she really does a great job within the same song of doing both and kind of, like, captivating your attention. That being said, it as much as I did like this song, it made me feel like... Like, we've been waiting 2 years for her album for this. Like, this feels like a song that could have come out like 2 years ago.
No, I completely agree. It would have made sense. It goes with, like, her EP that she dropped. Right. Like, the Mermaid stuff and the...
And then the... what was the mixtape that she put out?
1991,
yeah.
And then there was... Anyways,
Fantasy,
which was great. And I really do like her, and I agree. I wish, you know, she put out, like, an album. Right. We could hear more of it. But, you know, it's kind of like something to whet your appetite. This is just making me think, like...
Did you want something different? Because this sounds so much like the
what I was just thinking is if it's going to take this long for the album to come out, I was expecting like a major stylistic shift instead of more of the same. But it is a good thing.
Yeah, I got to say, I wasn't really taken with the song. And I agree with you guys that Azealia Banks is super talented and can really sing. And I like the 1991 EP a lot. Not so much the Fantasy mixtape, but... this song just didn't do it for me. Maybe it is because I had that kind of reaction of like, oh, after all of this, like this is what comes out. And I don't know. It's just, I guess my reaction to the song is that I wanted to listen to 2-on-2 again. Like listening to Chasing Time, I was just like, I was remembering like, 2-on-2 is still the best.
So good.
That's weird though, because sometimes with artists, at least with like rap and R&B artists, we want more of the old stuff because you know, we're very like into nostalgia. So it's funny how like when it comes to some artists like Azealia Banks, we're like, no, do not do anything like you've done before. But it's probably because of that, because she's been gone musically for so like, well, she hasn't produced or put anything out in a minute.
Can Azealia Banks still be a star after all of this? Like, do you guys think it's possible for Azealia Banks to like, say like she gets her label situation worked out and she's, you know, has like a proper album coming out and it's really good. Like, yeah. Like say it's just, she puts out a really good album. Like, is it possible for Azealia Banks to be a star?
I have no idea.
I don't know. I think that, I mean, it's not like she hasn't done like super horrible things, but it's just like when it comes to the point where you're more known for the shit that you talk on Twitter than your actual music. And then when, like, you know, like you guys said, when you actually put out music, it's so reminiscent of what you already put out. It's like, how do you become that star?
Yeah. Reality TV show.
Yeah, that's, exactly. That's it is. I mean, it's.
Don't
I,
put that
I
out
think,
in the world. Yeah.
I really think of Joe. Joe and Azealia Banks as very similar, because Joe is a journalist and a writer, but mostly known for the shit he talks on Twitter. Like,
absolutely.
Let's be
most
real.
Famous for my Twitter beef. Real active Twitter life. I mean, probably tweet once a week.
You
but
and
when
Perez
I do,
Hilton.
Man,
it's unreal.
We get into
you add every rapper and just go at it.
Anyways, so well, before I get into more hot water, let's just listen to the song. It's Chasing Time from Azealia Banks. Give you a little more space to grow. All right, next up, let's talk about Elephant and Moo. The song is called One More, and this is a little bit of a throwback to last week's Swedish Appreciation Must Hear Music podcast.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, Erica missed Swedish Appreciation Week. Makes a sad face.
It was like, I think 5 out of the 6 artists were Swedish.
Yeah,
wow.
It's pretty awesome. Yeah, so Elephant and Moo, this song is what I really like about this song. Elefant actually is a very promising, again, Swedish artist, and she has always come across as a little too busy in terms of her songs. They're almost like very manic electro pop songs, and some of them are good, some of them don't work. What I like about this collaboration with Moo is that it kind of slows things down. It's a very beautiful electronic track, and I think that it's interesting because I don't think it really needs to be like a duet, but it just sort of works. Like I like both of these artists, and they haven't really had like a signature song. Like if someone asked me, what is your favorite Elefant or Moo song, I couldn't really say, just because, like, you know, I listen to their EPs and I like a lot of what I hear, but nothing really is like tremendous and really, you know, is enthralling in that way. I think that this has the potential to be there, and I really like the video. The video actually, I put this out there for this show because the video actually came out today. The song came out about a week ago, and the video is a lot of fun. It's them like fighting and making out, and it's weird, but I wouldn't expect anything less from them. What do you guys think?
I only listen to R&B and rap. So, no, I actually really enjoyed this song. I feel like the song was fun, but I'm not familiar. Like, I'm more familiar with like M-O. Am I saying her?
Yeah, it's pronounced Moo. It's just M with, for those listening, it's M with the with the O with the slash.
That are as ignorant as me.
No, it's just like, yeah, because nobody, yeah.
But I've listened to her stuff before, and I really like her stuff. So, but I think this was like pretty catchy.
Yeah, I thought one line that really stuck out to me, I mean, I agree with everything you said. The production is great. It's this nice kind of low-key hip-hop influence thing. But also the lyrics were really interesting. Like there's one line that was, "Stay with me tonight and we can count the streetlights." And it's just kind of like it evokes this lovely, like bored teenager thing, like kind of sweet and romantic, but also just when you're a kid and you're out at night, but you don't really have anything to do.
Yeah.
So I like that. And a shout out to our producer, Madeline. She, a few weeks ago, said she wanted us to feature Elefant. So,
oh, really?
And here we are talking about
she
her.
She was in the office, Madeline. I don't know if you knew that. I was just going to say that she came in a couple weeks ago because she played a show in New York.
I just try to pass her the
mic. Yeah, Madeline, Madeline stays out of the spotlight. Come on.
She threw it on the ground.
but Elefant, super interesting person, moving to LA from Sweden, working with all of the big songwriters and producers out there, I think. And she's opening for Charlie XCX coming up, which is a great look for her. So definitely someone to keep an eye on.
All right, well, let's listen to it. One more from Elefant and Moo. I got money. All right, next and lastly, I want to talk about Perfume Genius's song Fool. This is from his new album. It's a quick one, his album. It's just 33 minutes. And it's the whole thing is great, but I would say everything kind of has this overpowering, like harrowing sense, like yeah. Imminent danger just hangs over this album. So in that sense, while it's a great listen, it maybe not pleasant per se, but the song I picked out is called Fool. And it really reminded me in his vocal approach, kind of the way Prince sounds when he's singing The Cross on the Sign of the Times album. He sounds like just very weary and understated, but you still get this sense of like someone who's come through a lot of stuff and is strong and resilient in spite of everything. And I don't know, there's some cool finger snaps. Any song with finger snaps, I'm probably on board with.
Wow.
I don't think I knew this about you, Joe.
It's a dark secret because it's not something I want, you know,
it's out there
admit,
now.
But I know, now it's out there. I wish we have to edit that out.
Wow.
But yeah, so what did anyone else think of it?
Yeah, I mean, Perfume Genius is an artist that I think is really going to connect with this album. It's getting a lot of critical love. It's getting a lot of, I think it's getting a lot of great looks in the press. And I think it's definitely Perfume Genius's strongest album. It always kind of, I don't know why, I think it's maybe because of his appearance, but he always kind of reminds me of Patrick Wolf a little bit. Like, I don't know how familiar you guys are. He's like a British pop singer-songwriter. And He has these like dark brooding songs, and this is like a full album of that kind of, and I really like that. I mean, you know me, you guys know me, I love weird indie shit a lot. And this isn't really that weird. It's more orchestral and you know, very kind of captivating in terms of its arrangements. But yeah, I mean, I think this is like a breakout moment for Perfume Genius. It really feels like, and I'm not really talking about the song as much as the album, but the thong the thong song by Perfume Genius. No, Fool is definitely a standout.
Well, I like that you said weird indie shit, because our coworker Andrew Flanagan sent me this Perfume Genius stream. And if anyone knows Flan, it's all like hipster indie music, which Jason makes fun of him all the time. Yeah. So I was like,
"What's funny, because I might be a bigger hipster than him, like when all is said and done.
Musically, maybe.
Like, I do have.
He's got the whole pack.
Oh, well, that's true. That's true.
He's got the hipster.
I mean, I do have a Joanna Newsom poster at my desk. Like, that's pretty.
But
that's
it's
pretty
near
hipster.
A One Direction doll that you
have. That's true,
at your
too.
Desk.
Anyway.
But so he, knowing that, I was a little hesitant to listen to Perfume Genius. And then he specifically told me to listen to this song. And I think that the reason he did that is because I really do get like a lo-fi alternative R&B kind of feel to it. Kind of like the stuff that I listen to, like Shy Girls and all these other like new R&B artists that I listen to. So I really did like enjoy the song. And I guess I won't be ignoring Flanagan's or your guys' emails about Perfume Genius or other artists. But so I really like it. Surprisingly, I enjoyed it.
All right, well, let's listen to it. It's Perfume Genius from his new album, Too Bright, and the song is called Fool. On the couch you All right, thanks for joining us on the Must Hear Music podcast. I'm going to wrap things up as promised earlier. I think my favorite snack actually is popcorn. That might be a little, because we were just talking about popcorn, so maybe
I love
I'm
popcorn.
Just saying that.
What kind of
we
popcorn? Do you like the cheddar or
no,
caramel?
I would go straight forward, no butter, salt, but preferably
no butter. Interesting.
In oil, maybe a coconut oil or something.
Oh, what?
Like
very fancy.
I'm going to get very specific.
I'm going to have to try that.
Yeah.
Are you obsessed with like the Christmas popcorn boxes? That like
I do. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like those if you are get the one with the caramel, I mean, I love that. I'm just saying.
Joe just like lit up, guys.
You know what's a bummer? And I think I was actually talking about this in the office one day. I always feel like it's such a bummer when you eat dinner or lunch before you go to see a movie in the movie theater. Because you want to get popcorn. Mm-hmm. Like, and then you're like, oh, I'm really full. Like, it's a bunch of calories. I don't really. And then you're sitting in the movie theater and you're just like an hour into the movie, you're just like, oh, I wish I had some popcorn.
I'm a nachos girl.
Smell it. Yeah.
Can I just blame being Mexican? Nachos with jalapenos is my thing. Popcorn comes second.
I would almost consider nachos a meal, but I think that's
No, you know what? Yes,
being
Joe.
Not someone who doesn't know how to
Joe's
make a Joe's
calling
dinner.
Erica fat is what's going on right now.
We're fighting after this.
Yeah. All right. Well, Erica may never be back.
Another cliffhanger for the Must Hear Music podcast.
All right. But thanks again for joining us. And someone tweeted Jess Glynn at us a recommendation who Erica was already familiar with. I hadn't heard before. I
Clean
loved
bandit,
it.
Man.
So thank you. Yeah, the song was incredible.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for tweeting that at us. And if anyone has any recs, tweet them at us. Thanks.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.